Brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this worship service, we first of all confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And we greet you, grace to you, and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits by before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's praise the Lord with singing Psalm 46, the verses 1 and 2. Now we'll listen to the holy law of our faithful covenant God to test our heart and life to this law as to the rule of thankfulness. After that we will sing about the law, Psalm 19, verse 3 and 5. God spoke all these words: I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. You nor your son nor your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized this as follows. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Unite in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank thee that amidst all the turmoil of life, the turmoil in this world, and at times also in our personal lives, we thank thee that amidst all this turmoil, this morning we may dwell in thy presence to find rest. Rest with thee, the God of all peace. But in thinking about this, we marvel, for we know that we do not deserve this. Thy love, thy care, in which he could warm ourselves throughout the past week again. While elsewhere in this world there is so much suffering beyond our comprehension, an ongoing war, hunger and starvation, many who live as refugees with no place to go, persecution. Lord, have mercy and grant relief to so many. Above all, grant that people may hear the gospel, so that amid suffering they may find peace, peace in Christ, who came into this world to take away the cause of all suffering, which is sin. Lord, when considering all this suffering elsewhere, we wonder, who are we that we may live in freedom? With so many material blessings, and all this totally undeserved. And Lord, that is surely not because we are better. On the contrary, we humbly confess that we too stand guilty when looking at ourselves. We could listen to thy law. And Father, let me acknowledge that we have failed thee throughout the past week again in many ways. Our sins, shortcomings, failures, they testify against us. Our errors, sometimes unwittingly committed, as we did sing it. Father, thou hast seen it all, and it has grieved thee. Grief of a father who always seeks the best for his children. Lord, if only we would realize this more on a daily basis. And so, Father, also this morning we pray thee cleanse us by the blood of Christ. Renew us by thy Spirit. For only then, Father, we will have real peace, knowing that we may live in communion with thee again. Peace. Also knowing that in the battle of faith, fighting against sin, thou art there to give us all that we need. For Father, since we are weak from ourselves, we fervently pray thee, will thou uphold and strengthen us by the power of thy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat. And that's how we take refuge in thee, knowing that thou art the Almighty One, and at the same time, a Father, always there for us. Lord, we pray thee help us live in this awareness, so that it is not just something we know and confess, but grant that this confession may also strengthen and comfort us each day amid all the anxiety of life. Help us daily live in the awareness, as we did sing it, that in times of trouble thou art near, and with thy help there is never any reason for fear. Lord, we thank thee that daily we may live in this wonderful comfort. As tensions are rising in this world, help us keep looking on high to thee. Father, only then we will find rest amid all the anxiety that so quickly can get also us in its grip. Lord, give us this rest also when this morning we may listen to the preaching, when we will focus on all these tensions and the questions that come with it, also in our hearts at times. Be near to us, both in speaking and listening. Bless the preaching to our hearts, so that we may go home comforted and strengthened in faith. Accept our songs of praise, our gifts of thanks for the needy among us also this morning. Lord, help us to provide also for the needy from a thankful heart for all the blessings thou hast given us. Be so near to us throughout this worship service, both in speaking and listening. We humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You now receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gift of thankfulness, the work of the needy. That is what we will collect for this morning. And after that, we'll sing from hymn 12, the verses 1 and 2. they did not act as children of the Lord. And that's why Amos, sent by the Lord from Judah to the kingdom of the 10 tribes, had to warn God's people. And that's what we will focus on, because that's a warning we should also take to heart, so that we too may walk in the ways of the Lord. So first we'll read how in Amos' day, God's people rebelled against the Lord. Amos 4, verse 6 through to 13. Amos 4, verse 6 through to 13. Where Amos, on behalf of the Lord, speaks the following words. Also I, that's the Lord, gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city, I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees. The locusts devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I set among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. You young men are killed with the sword, along with your captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I overthrew some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you are like a firebrand plucked from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his sword is, and makes the morning darkness, who treads the light high places of the earth, the Lord of hosts is his name. That was the situation among the kingdom of the 10 tribes. And therefore, Amos had to warn God's people. And that's the text for this morning. Amos 3, verse 1 through 2, 8. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den, if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into the snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So far the text. In response to God's word, we'll sing from Psalm 43, the verse 3 and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's Lord's Day 10 of the Hallenberg Catechism. We confess that whatever happens to us in this life comes not to us by chance, but from God's fatherly hand. And the same we confess in Article 13 of the Belgian Confession, that God so rules and governs all things in this world, and in a similar way also in our personal lives, that nothing happens without his divine direction. Well, on behalf of the Lord, Amos put that same rhetorical question to God's people in the kingdom of the 10 tribes. If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Many people struggle with this question. And at times we do as well. Now, there is no doubt in our mind that all that is happening at present is from God's hand. We acknowledge God's hand in the ongoing pandemic. We acknowledge God's hand in the current economic crisis with high inflation. We acknowledge God's hand in the war in Ukraine, the tension with China and other parts of the world. No one has any difficulty confessing this. We all believe it comes from God. God rules. But the question I want to address this morning is this, beloved. What do we do with that knowledge? It comforts, but at the same time, anxiety can still get hold of us as well. What does the future hold? It's grocery and fuel prices skyrocketing. How will it go in Europe? Just imagine that it will come to a nuclear conflict. When thinking of all this, who would not struggle at times? Now, such, there is nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong as long as we keep seeing God's hand in all this. Even more importantly, when we think about these things, ask yourself this question. Does it bring me closer to God so that amidst all the anxiety, I have that peace that only God can give? Inner peace. Amid all the unrest and anxiety we often see around us. Beloved, pray to God that he will grant you that peace, that rest. Above all, daily pray that amidst these trying times, God may help you to live your faith, bringing glory to God, who is in total control of all that is happening at present, not only in Australia, but worldwide. Is there a calamity in the city? Will not the Lord have done it? Will not the Lord have done it? Let's go to the passage of Scripture, chosen for this morning's sermon, to see what the Lord wants to teach us, not only to receive comfort, but even more importantly, to see how the Lord is busy in all these things to bring us closer to him. So let us turn to Amos 3. The previous two chapters, Amos had spoken about God's judgments, not only upon the Gentile nations surrounding Israel and Judah, but also about God's judgments upon his chosen nation, his own children. On behalf of the Lord, Amos rings the alarm. But the people don't want to hear, won't want to listen. Life is good. It was a time of material wealth, so there was nothing to be afraid of. God's people had closed their ears to what God had to say. For this reason, Amos wants to shake God's people awake so that he may open their eyes to what is going on. Amos blows the trumpet. I've summarized this as follows. Amos urges God's people to open their eyes to see God's hand in all that is happening. For if there is a calamity, will not the Lord have done it? And also, when the Lord does something, did he not reveal it beforehand? And therefore, only when we will shelter with him, we will be safe. Amos rings the alarm. Amos did surely not have such a good name among God's people in the northern kingdom. And somehow you could understand that. The man only spoke about judgments. Of course, the people did not mind where it concerned God's judgment upon the heathen nations. But when it was proclaimed, it's the same ruthlessness, even to God's own people, that did not go down so well. How could Amos say all this? After all, had God not chosen Israel out of all the families of the earth? And would God now all of a sudden be against them? Somehow, Amos had it wrong. However, beloved, listen how Amos responds to these complaints. He says, you are right. You are right. You only, the Lord says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. You are my precious people. You are the apple of my eye. However, precisely for that reason, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Because I love you so much. I love you so much, and so your sins hurt me. I can no longer tolerate them. From this we learn, brothers and sisters, that being elected by God, being covenant children, should never cause us to become proud. Being blessed by God should never cause us to think that we are better than others. Instead, it should make us humble. Humble. That means that you say to yourself, Lord, despite all the sins there are in my life, who am I that thou wilt still regard me as thy child? Lord, I not deserve this. Who am I, wretched sinner? That's the attitude God wants that we show that in our life. For we all, as we are sitting here, brothers and sisters, we all can only plead with God's mercy. It's the only way in which we can come in the presence of God, also this morning. Because of our sins, we don't deserve anything. And don't say that because you all agree with that. But do we understand what grace is all about? Let that sink in. Because that attitude was missing in Amos' day. While the poor had hardly anything to eat, the rich based themselves in wealth. Also, God's people served the Lord in a way that suited them, but contrary to what God had commanded. It was a self-willed serving of the Lord, as you also see today among many who still call themselves Christians. A serving of the Lord where no longer God stands at the center, but man instead. In serving God's way, in serving God this way, the question is no longer what does the Lord require, but more central becomes, how does serving the Lord make me happy? How does it feel good? Hence, by way of example, we have to find a more man-friendly liturgy in the church. No longer those dry, traditional worship services as we are used to, more happier, more welcoming. More hymns. But it's all directed at the feeling of men. And so when they can find it here in the church, they leave the church and they go somewhere else. But do they find it there? Often not. They go shopping, churches like we go shopping from Woolies to Coles, and in the end you come somewhere where you still find it. Lots of people in the end don't go to church anymore. That's the danger of leaving the rich waters, the living fountain of true preaching of the gospel. Man wants that it feels good. Now, it was because of this attitude in Amos' day that God's people had almost become immune to the faithful preaching of the gospel, resistant to all that Amos had to say on behalf of the Lord, and die. That's why he addresses God's people of old in a similar way as once the Lord Jesus did. If you turn with me to Luke 12. The verses 54 through to 56. Similarly as here. God's people did not want to listen. They knew it so well, but they didn't want to listen. Luke 12, the verses 54 through to 56. Then he also said to the multitude, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And if you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And so it is. Hypocrites. You can discover the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Well, in a similar way, with similar questions, Amos addresses God's people. Rhetorical questions, by which Amos wants to show God's hand in everything that was happening around them. He says in verse 3 of the text, verse 3, he says that, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Indeed, you walk together on the planned route. That must be by appointment. And likewise, when the lion roars, the cause must be that there is prey to cease. And so the argument goes on with questions posed to demand an answer. Verse 5, will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap? Will a snare spring up from the earth if nothing has caught in it? Repeatedly, these are rhetorical questions that you say, of course not. It's unthinkable. Verse 6a, unthinkable when the trumpet is blown and the people will not react. Also, Amos says, if there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? But as far as that is concerned, so Amos is implicitly saying here, as far as that is concerned, you don't seem to understand. No one carries on with regular duties when the trumpet is blown. You don't keep feasting as if you didn't hear it. Instead, you will take action. That's how it was in those days. The blow of the trumpet meant the city was in danger. Everyone knew it. Everyone would straightway take action accordingly. But now the Lord blows the trumpet. But people don't want to listen. They carry on with the alarm as if nothing is to be feared. Do you not understand, O Israelites, all that is happening around you, the rumbling of the thunder? It does not occur by chance. You, in other instances, have no difficulty in drawing conclusions from what you see around you. In this case, you seem to be as blind as a bat. That's the context, brothers and sisters, of the text chosen for this morning's sermon. If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Today, many people also have difficulty in acknowledging God's hand in all the misery we are confronted with. Early 2020, COVID had just started. I read about an Anglican school principal who had written a letter to all the parents to say that we should not forget that God's hand is in it, what we now experience. By the worldly press, this was mocked at straight away. You're not allowed to say this. Let alone that in the same context, you would speak about God's judgment upon the sins of a nation. Even many modern Christians have difficulty with this. And so they start looking at other things, often also blaming the government for handling the healthcare system the way they did. Beloved, let's be careful that we live our faith to the glory of God's name. Live our faith also by what we put on Facebook or social media. Ask whether you are correct in what you are posting and whether it is God's honoring. So, how should we act and respond to all the unrest and hype we see around us? Some might say, just acknowledge God's hand, even when it causes pain, hurt. Accept it without murmuring, believing, even though it is beyond our comprehension, God works for good in everything for those who love him. But is that what Scripture teaches? Would I accept if my wife would die tonight and someone comes and says, I can see that you're grieving, but remember, God works in everything for good. Would that be the answer? Of course not. No questions asked. Thy will be done. Live your faith. That sounds very scriptural. Yet, beloved, I wonder whether this is what Scripture teaches, simply accepting no more. Is that what God wants? Think of what is happening in Europe at present, the war in Ukraine, with all the pain involved. Ongoing bombing already since February 24. An enormous refugee crisis, with people having no homes, nowhere to live. Tensions that even if it would come to that, can come to a nuclear conflict. What if Putin pushes the button? What then? Closer to home. Cost of living skyrocketing. Families struggling to make ends meet. And then on top this ongoing pandemic. Where will all this end? I think also of a government that becomes more and more anti-Christian. What will this mean for our children? Our grandchildren? Anxiety can quickly get hold also of us. We struggle. Is that wrong? Must we say, without any inward struggle, Lord, thy will be done, full stop. The Lord Jesus cried at Lazarus' tomb. Why? It was our Savior's reaction to the destructive power of sin and death. And it affects all life. It caused him to cry. That's why the Lord Jesus also struggled so much in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his eyes, death was evil. And he did not simply acquiesce. He said, Lord, if it is thy will, let this cup pass. But thy will be done. But he struggled to the extent that the Lord even sent an angel to uphold him. So what should our reaction be? That's not so easy, brothers and sisters, to say that. For a start, we should hold on to that confession in Article 13, Belgian Confession, that the Lord is in control. But that article also states that God is not the author of sin. Instead, God uses the hurt and pain which even his own children suffer. God uses all this to bring his purpose about. And so believing this, we must see God at work in all that is happening in the past and present. And then we don't have always the ready answers to the why of everything, but it's not a needed either. God is busy. Busy also with us. So what do we do with this knowledge? How are we in faith working with it? See, that eye of faith was lacking in Amos' day. I may refer to what we read in chapter 4. The Lord gave lack of bread, chapter 4, verse 6. He withheld rain, verse 7. He blasted with blight and mildew. Blight, a scorching eastern wind, and mildew, a product of parasitic worms. Through all calamities, the Lord was ringing the alarm, aiming to bring his people back. And the repeated verse is, you have not returned to me, says the Lord. There's a similar refrain in Scripture. If you turn to God's judgment poured out on this world, Revelation 16, it goes through all these judgments. And the refrain verse is, and they did not repent. So that's what was happening. The Lord wants to win his people back. You don't understand. You can't carry on with life as nothing has happened. You explain it just as the cause of nature, not acknowledging my hand in all this. If there is a calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? That's the context. Lord says to his children, open your eyes, see my hand, and repent from your evil. Turn back to me. If you know the answers to all the previous rhetorical questions so well, why not the answer to this last question? When the branches of the fig tree become tender, you know that summer is near. When you see clouds in the sky, you know that rain is coming. Why then, when calamities occur, you ignore and act dumb? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Does this now mean that God will teach his people a lesson whenever things occur? Indeed, The question to the answer is yes. God is always busy with us. But the point is that we have to be careful with that reasoning. For example, when a person becomes seriously ill or has an accident, is that because of his sins? That's what Job's friends thought. And they also told him, admit your guilt now that all is happening. Beloved, you should be cautious with comments like this. In general, it is always a pitfall when we try to find out for someone else when certain things happen to him. We better keep silent, asking ourselves what the Lord wants to teach us personally through it. Also in the life, what is happening to others, what is happening in the lives of others. So if I have to visit a person terribly ill, what do I do with that? As a minister, I offer comfort, and that's my task. But when I visit, the Lord is also busy with me. If that would happen to you, the Lord is telling me then, are you ready to meet your Savior? See, that's how you have to be busy, also when you see things happening in the life of others. Brother Henk Huizegaar died. We pray for all the family members, as we'll do later on in the service. He was ready to meet his Savior. Are we? See, that's how you go to a funeral. The Lord is always busy with us in all the sins. So we should be careful with comments from, well, that happens to him or that for that and that reason. There is not always a direct relation between sorrow, illness, disappointment, and sin from which one must repent. The Lord can also be busy with us in other ways. The main thing is that we see God at work, being busy with us in one way or another. Thus, only by entrusting ourselves to God, we will find peace and rest amid all that is happening. In all that is happening in our own lives, but also in all the other things I mentioned before, in Australia and worldwide. When life goes through a valley, brothers and sisters, they also take time. And I think of Job. Job, if you turn with me to Job 40, verse 4. The friend said to him, you have to repent. And then Job says, yeah, but I'm righteous, so to speak. What do I have to repent from? And he also struggles with the Lord. At a certain moment, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, but he keeps on struggling till the Lord shows him how great God is. How great God is. And then Job says, chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I'm foul. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. See, that's what we should do. Then you become still. And you leave it to the Lord. You don't have all the answers. But the Lord is great. He's mighty. And he seeks our good. Lord, it may take time to come to such a confession when you struggle in life. But the Lord allows for that. We don't have to come overnight ready when someone is all of a sudden a loved one taken by an accident, for example. Then it takes time to come to terms with that. And the Lord allows for that. Just look at the Psalms. Authors of these Psalms struggle, but they keep clinging to the Lord. And that's the point. And then the Lord will help us to persevere to the end. So you'll focus on it this afternoon. We will deal with chapter 5 of the Canons of Dort. On behalf of the Lord, Amos admonishes God's people that it always knows how to draw the conclusion that not when God strikes with calamity. Yet, beloved, as regards these calamities, there was even less reason not to know what they meant. It says in verse 7 of this chapter, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And that makes that question of verse 6b even more pointed. God's people in Amos' day did not want to hear about judgment. And hence, Amos should stop prophesying. They didn't want to listen to him. However, in the end, That would mean that the Lord would take the words away. Turn with me to chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Amos 8, verse 11 and 12. If you don't want to hear then what will happening, verse 11 and 12, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. See, that's how the Lord will take that great privilege of God's people away. The compass of his word is put at risk. And that's underlined in verse 8a, where Amos says, chapter 3, verse 8a, a lion has roared, who will not fear? Therefore, O Israelites, listen. Acknowledge God's grace that he is still speaking to you, warning you. For the Lord does nothing unless he reveals it beforehand. Beloved, God indeed always forewarns his people for what is coming. Scripture is quite clear about it. In paradise, God warned Adam and Eve of the consequences in case they would eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they did not listen. God forewarned that he would strike the earth with a flood unless people repented. But they didn't listen. And that's indeed the recurring theme of Scripture. God sends out prophets to call his people to repentance, having the salvation of his people at heart, as in Amos' day. He forewarned them, exile is imminent, unless you repent. But God's people didn't want to listen. Well, beloved, that's how also today God's word goes out into this world, goes out also to us. We have the compass of God's word. But are we using that compass? And I'd like to draw a parallel. If you turn with me also to Amos 3, verse 7, is there a calamity in the city? Has not the Lord had done it? And then the Lord has forewarned you, it says in verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, if you turn to Revelation 1, verse 1, Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. God sends out this book of Revelation, first to John, but then also to us, so that people may open their eye for God's hand in history to what's happening in the world around him. The Lord told his people during the time that he was still on earth the signs of the time, what would take place. But then he revealed it to John. John passed it on to the churches, and it's passed on to us today through Scripture. From the last book of the Bible in particular, we know that God is at work in wars, rumors of war, earthquakes, calamities, pestilence. We have been forewarned so that nothing strange would happen to us. If you read the book of Revelation, you see this is speaking to us today. And that's how we should follow the news. With the Bible open, it's our compass. In his love, God has made known to us what we can expect in the last days. Open your Bible and read in particular the last book, the book of Revelation. God has made crystal clear what will happen when the seals of the scrolls are opened. There are no surprises. We have the light of God's word. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, 1 Peter 1, verse 19, says the following. 1 Peter 1, verse 19, it says there, it is 2 Peter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. It says there, in verse 19, while they promised, 2 Peter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So we may rejoice in the light. Only then we will find safety. With the compass of Scripture, brothers and sisters, we will see God at work in all that's happening. In the church, in our personal life. Using that compass, we learn that we'll meet with difficulties, hardship, sorrow, pain, hurt due to the consequences of sin. Life is broken, and it causes tears, hardships, struggles, even in the lives of sincere children of God. One only has to read the book of Psalms, which shows us how children of God struggle in faith. There were times that they even felt that God has forsaken them. Was that lack of faith? No, it portrays the struggle of faith. And how in those struggles the Lord is near. Our tears are precious in God's eyes. We don't have to hide them. Once I read, pray to God that he will turn your tears into rainbows. What does it mean? When you admit the tears of you cry, you cling to God's promises, you will stand firm. Then crying, you see the Son of God's grace, which causes these tears to become rainbows. God's promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You see that through your tears. And then these tears become rainbows, as we saw this morning when we were driving here to Rockingham. I summarize the message of this morning's text. Amos urges God's people to see God at work in all that is happening. Beloved, do you see God's hand? Do you see God busy with us as a congregation? With us personally? Let's pray daily that the Lord may open our eyes so that we may see it. Not in the first place what others do wrong. God is judging the sins of the nations. It's also busy with us. So don't first look at others. We are very good at that. Maybe you say, it would be nice if Brother B had been in church this morning. Forget about Brother B. What's the Lord telling to you this morning? That's the first thing you have to think of. Don't look first at others. In Yale, we are very good at that. But let us start with examining ourselves. We follow the news, yet how? Do we have our Bibles open? Then we learned that also concerning this pandemic that already going on for 2.5 years, that Revelation 6 verse 7 says pestilence will come. And see, also the book of Revelation, brothers, says you don't have to read, say, but we have had this already. And now in chapter 13 we are much further now. It happens throughout the ages. Pestilence throughout the ages. We have seen it. Think of the bubonic plague, called also the Black Death, in the 14th century, that killed 200 million people in Europe and the Near East. The Spanish flu, 1918 and following years, which killed 50 million people worldwide. God was busy calling people to repentance. And this is God what has done. Think of what happened I often think about it lately. Think of what happened in the 16th century. We all know that, Martin Luther, Calvin. And what happened to Europe? The gospel came alive. Churches were planted worldwide through Europe. Look at it now. You find hardly any faithful churches. There are. Thankfully, God will preserve his church to the end. But what is left of the Reformation in Europe? That's what's happening. When people do not listen to God's word. So the question is this morning, as God is busy with us, what is our response? Can you say that what is happening today, that it brings you closer to God? Maybe serving God needs a greater priority in your life. Perhaps you need to learn again what it means to put your trust in God alone, to get rid of all the anxiety. Probably for all of us, it means that we should live our life of faith more clearly. We're all very good in explaining the doctrine of God's providence, but do we live it? Just to let go, solely in childlike faith, living out of Father's hand so that we have peace and also radiate it to everyone who crosses our path. Just check for yourself, beloved. No doubt, when we are together as God's people as well, you talk about the signs of the times. Yeah. So the war in Ukraine, pandemic, all kind of things. Another murder, former prime minister in Japan. And so the news goes on and on. But back at work, and someone talks with you about COVID-19 or about the war in Ukraine, how often do you mention God's name in that? Or is that your general talk about it's also bad in the world? And we go on like the world around us. Or do we shine the light, the compass of God's word? Because that's our task. Do we have the salvation of others also at heart? So that they too may have that peace which we have when we live out of Father's hands. Let us be busy with that. Also as a family, the news. We like to stay up to date with the news. But brothers and sisters, it might also be that sometimes it's good to turn the news off. Make time to meditate. Quiet time in the inner room, as Christ speaks about in the Sermon on the Mount. Quiet time. Busy with God's words in prayer. Forget about your phone and all the gadgets. Your Bible in your head. Meditate. That brings you close to God. And then pray. Be busy with also as a family. Remember all the unrest, the anxiety can quickly affect also our children, especially their mental health. Try to give them rest and peace by pointing them to the gospel. It tells them, my son, my daughter, don't worry. Father is in control and he will provide us whatever the future holds. We may shelter with him. I realize, brothers and sisters, that if we live that way, it doesn't end all the struggles we may face. But we have the comfort that in these struggles we may cling to God, to God's fatherly hand. He will lead us also through the valleys of life. In this we may find our strength in the life often so broken. There is not one step in life we have to make without God. That gives guidance, strength to cope, no matter what may lay ahead. In the valley of life, where you struggle with faith, remember that psalm which we will sing. My soul, why are you sad and grieving? Why so oppressed with anxious care? Hope yet in God, his word believing, for light and joy from him receiving. I'll praise his name again, and Lord, my Savior and my God. Amen. Let's unite in prayer and thanksgiving. In our prayer, in our congregational prayer, we'll thank the Lord that our sister Timmer is doing much better. The feeding tube is out, and hopefully she can start further treatment in the next couple of weeks. Also pray for the Brooke and Jackson Reitsema family. Brooke's grandfather passed away, Brother Henk Huizinga, and his funeral will be tomorrow. So we'll also remember the Huizinga family and Brooke and Jackson in our prayer this morning. Gracious God and Father, we thank thee for the opening of thy word, for that rich gospel, that in faith we have the assurance that thou art with us, always. The nations may rage, the kingdoms stumble, but thou art there to protect us, always on our side, going before us, defending us by thy power. And that's why we as thy children have nothing to fear. Lord, help us live from these riches, so that anxiety doesn't get hold of us, which can so quickly happen. When amid the trials of life and the upheavals in this world, we forget to look on high to thee. Forget and then seek to relax in enjoyment apart from thee. Nice perhaps for a moment, but it never lasts. It's a vain hope, empty. Lord, help us see this more and more, so that we may break with all world conformity and seek our security only in thee. Lord, since our sinful nature often is still playing up, this will be a severe battle for all of us. Help us see this, and in humbleness also to acknowledge this. At the same time, thanking thee that in this relentless battle, we have to be assured that Christ is on our side. He has already won the victory, and one day he will also make us share in that victory. The day when the battle ends, sin will be no more. Lord, in this broken life, we long for that glorious future, for the day that we may come home with thee and will grieve thee no more. That's where our brother Huizinga is already. Thou took him home to a better place where there is no more suffering. But Father, here on earth there is grief. And so I pray thee for Sister Huizinga, Maria, but also for the children, the grandchildren, especially tomorrow, Father, when the funeral will be held. Surround them with thy grace, so that from the open grave they may look on high to thee. Thou hast given everlasting life to all who believe in thee. And that's the confession we make when we stand around the grave, not looking down, but on high to heaven, where one day we will be reunited again. We are still running the race. But Father, help us to make faithful, knowing ourselves surrounded by all these witnesses who have gone before us, so that together one day we'll sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Lord, we thank thee that our sister Timmer is doing well in comparison to where she has been. But it's not the end of the road. There are still more treatments to come, and we pray thee that she can sustain these treatments. Surround her with thy love, be with her children, also those in America. Give them all what they need when they think of mom. Surround them with thy love and provide them with all that they need. Lord, we thank thee that in this way we may commit one another into thy care, all of us, for there we are safe. Be there near to us, also the remainder of this day, and bring us in obedience together again this afternoon, where once again we may come together to worship thee and listen to the gospel of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. In conclusion, let us sing all the verses of hymn 78.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Amen.